right, welcome everybody to a one of our special interviews with our good friends over at Demiurge. This is Craig. With me, as always, it's Ian. It's Ray, the Puzzle Warrior.
Hello. Thank you for the lackluster intro. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, I thought maybe I'd do it Ian style and just maybe yawn in the middle.
Right.
And
we are super excited.
And coming to us live from the evil city that is Boston that yet again denied my Pittsburgh Steelers championship. it is the folks from Demiurge. Say hello, Anthony and Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So, first things first, if you are listening to this episode, that means big things have happened in the land of Marvel Puzzle Quest. Hopefully you've read somewhere else. If not, listen to this show because we're better. Yeah. Big new feature called Bonus Heroes. Guys, what can you tell us about this? Because, boy, we have questions.
Yeah. Well, I can kind of go over the – give you the overview, and then I'm happy to answer any questions you have. So, Bonus Heroes is a feature that is designed to solve a particular kind of problem, which is there's lots and lots of cool characters in Marvel Puzzle Quest. So if you are interested in collecting specific ones, we wanted to make it easier to do that. So Bonus Heroes is a system where you can favorite the characters you like. You can get extra covers when you open cover packs, and those extra covers, which happen between 5% and 10% of the time, those will be from your favorites. Your bonus heroes will always be your favorites. So yeah, that's the system in a nutshell. It does a lot of things. It helps you build the characters you want. It helps the new characters be a little easier to collect than they have been historically. And it also gives you a chance to kind of get more covers for your buck. Basically.
So I go in, I can pick 1 3-star, 1 4-star, 1 5-star and make them my favorites.
Right? Yeah, you can actually make as many as you want your favorites, but the kind of default at the so I guess when you come into MPQ after the feature deploys, you'll get a little screen that says, "Hey, Bonus Heroes is here. We've selected 1 3-star, 1 4-star, and 1 5-star for you that we think is right. You're free to change it. You can pick as many as you want. Only 3 stars and up are eligible, but if you pick, let's say, 3 different 4-stars because you're like working on a particular team of 3 4-stars, then they'll each have an equal chance to drop whenever you get a 4-star as a bonus hero.
Okay. So if I hit that, I open a single pack, I hit the 5% chance. Now I've got a 33% chance of
each of those
people.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, very cool. That's
yeah. So that's like, it's customizable. Like maybe you want to maximize the chance of a particular character. That's fine. Maybe you have a bunch that you think are awesome and better than the other ones. That's fine too. You can pick those.
Okay. So the bonus heroes, those are available in any of the cover packs?
Yeah. So any cover pack that you open, so not vaults, the system doesn't affect vaults at all.
Okay.
But any regular store that's a cover pack store that has 3 stars and up, which is every store, I think, all of them will now have, once you pass Shield Rank 8 or whatever it is where you have access to this feature, they'll all get a bonus chance. So instead of getting one cover, you get one cover and a small chance to get a bonus cover.
Okay.
So that's true across the board. Every pack is going to be like that from now on.
Nice. So am I correct in thinking that even though we're saying packs, even if you have a one cover, that's still
counts?
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, that's fair. Pack is like I used to work at Wizards of the Coast, and I think of them as booster packs.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. So each draw from the store has this applied to it.
Right.
So if you do the 1X, then you're going to have one chance at a bonus hero. If you do the 10X, you have 10 chances at a bonus hero. If you do the 40X, you'll have 40 chances at a bonus hero.
Right.
And the 10X and the 40X have a better chance per draw at getting a bonus hero.
Okay.
So it's like 8% for the 10X and the 40X and 5% for the 1X.
So even a standard token, since it has a 3-star character in it, has a possibility of getting you a bonus cover?
Yes, that's right. The chance of a 3-star is pretty low in a standard pack. So this doubles that. Every time you get a 3-star in a standard token from here on out, you will get a bonus 3-star from your favorites as well.
Man, my hoarding tokens just keeps paying off and paying off.
That's
who knows what the next feature is going to be, and you might want to set now.
Just one now. Now's the time. You better just hoard it for a whole other year, Ian. Just set them all up.
Oh, nice.
That's funny.
So I'm a little confused, and I'm sure you can explain a little bit. They're about the new character tag. So when a character comes out, they're going to be tagged?
Yeah. So so there's two cases. Well, so there's three cases where you can't mark a character as your favorite. So we're not going to do that for 1 and 2 stars because there aren't very many of them. And they come out that like you get them pretty frequently out of the lower tier cover packs. Mm-hmm. So those are ineligible. New characters, like when they first come out in the game, we like to make a big deal about them. They're special. They're part of our event rewards. There's kind of a cadence to our events where first you can earn them and then you can use them as the featured character. And then we have their special PvP during that period of time. And then extended past that, kind of in the normal way that we add characters to the heroic store during that time, we'll mark them as a new character because, we want to give them a chance to not invalidate the purchases of people who like spent a while trying to earn or buy those characters. And then after they get added to packs normally, that's when they kind of lose their new tag and they can be marked as favorites at that point.
Okay.
So for that initial period, you can't mark a new character as to get them as a bonus, but they, they're at higher odds in many of those packs during their event debuts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Absolutely.
And then there's limited characters as well.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes. The third category is we have some characters that are not normally in packs. Howard the Duck, Devil Dinosaur, Bagman. And so those characters are marked as like limited, and they can't be chosen as bonus heroes because when we bring them in to packs, we want that to be a special opportunity as well, kind of similar to that initial event release for a new character. And so we don't want to remove their mystique, I guess, by letting you kind of get them out of any pack at any time via the bonus hero system. So those guys also can't be marked as favorites.
Backman's so limited, he's not even marked.
That's right. Favorite. That's because he's a 2-star. So.
Right. I'm having a really hard time fully covering my Backman. So.
I'm sorry about that. Perhaps we'll feature him in an upcoming event. Wink, wink. No, I don't know. Please don't quote me on this.
So one query we had as we were trying to read through all of this is that now the draws are becoming limited to, 20
characters? 23 stars and 12 4-stars. Yeah, so this is kind of on the other side of the equation where we want to make sure that the new characters that we release are a little easier to collect than they have been in the past. And to do that, we're kind of limiting the content of each cover pack to only be kind of the newest characters. So that way, when a new character comes in, it's not like it's not making it so hard to collect the ones that you care about. It's we're keeping it to the set of the newest, kind of latest and greatest. So so all of the packs that have 3 stars and up will have the latest. Well, not the latest, I guess. It's like we kind of picked 23 stars that we think are kind of the right set for new players and old. And then the latest 12 4-stars, and then the legendary packs, then there are 5-stars are unaffected. We still have the latest Legends and Classic Legends packs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, my question was so if you're a newer player getting into the game, how are they then going to get the old 4-star characters?
Right. So part of this system lets you see all of the characters in the game in your roster, even if you don't own them. So you can mark them as favorites, even if you don't own them. So that's one way. And then we'll still have them featured in events on occasion, and they'll still show up in vaults as well.
Okay.
So those will be other ways to get those characters.
So if there's a character that I don't have any copies of, I could make that my bonus.
Yep. And then they'll show up 5% or 8% of the time when you draw.
Oh. Boy, that's super handy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a way maybe you get beat by some awesome character in Versus, or you're playing against a cool story mode character and you're like, you know what? I would really like that on my roster. That's a way for you to kind of direct your progress toward that character.
Interesting.
And then what kind of special code do I have to put in to make Dazzler my bonus character?
Well, once you see her show up in the available characters, you'll know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have that code yet.
So, oh, man. Yeah.
I know. Sorry, Craig.
You got to get working on that. Right? Yes. How about Namor? How about that code? How about that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's probably my book of codes I just don't have with me.
You know, I find
it's
odd.
It's up, down, down, B, A, select, start.
Yes, that's right. Just get that D-pad on there and you'll be able to enter the code right away.
I find it very odd that you're apologizing to Craig, and I feel like we should be apologizing to you.
It can be a mutual apology. We're all a little sad.
So yeah. I did hear you said 5 or 8%, and I just wanted to be clear. It's 5%
yes.
on the single covers and 8% on the 10 and 40 packs?
Yeah, per draw on the 10 and 40 packs.
Right.
So similar to how like we increase the odds of the higher rarity covers in the 10X and 40X pack, mm-hmm. the same will be true for the bonus hero. So you have an increased chance to get a bonus hero.
Nice. Well, I think the fact that you can select characters that you don't have answers a lot of my question, because I was all confused. I'm like, well, how am I going to finish up these 4 stars that I haven't been
able to get? That's totally fair. Yeah, we're trying to, you know, we want to put an emphasis on newer characters. I know sometimes people, you know, are really excited about a new character and they realize it's going to be pretty hard to collect sufficient covers to play with them. Now it'll be easier to do that in the regular packs. But then kind of the flip side of that is if you do want to focus on older characters, you still can. You just need to select them as your favorites.
Right, because I mean, that's one of the challenges that, you know, we have, even as, you know, players who've been playing a while. One, you know, Medusa came out and I'm like, man, I really want to play her. I'm not going to get enough covers to make her useful for quite some time.
Right, exactly. So so in this model,
who I bonus.
So with bonus heroes, you know, once she's added to the packs normally, you can also select her as a favorite, and now you have the regular pack chance plus the bonus chance. So, you know, if you really want to focus on a new character, you totally can do that in this system and still have the option to do older characters.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So for someone who, not me personally, but I don't even have a good example. It was this wasn't like a, you know, my old friend Kian. I was actually thinking of my wife. So someone like her who is beyond a casual player and will probably just click through the news and not read what bonus characters are and never check a favorite. Will she still benefit from this somehow?
Yeah, so there's two ways. The first is when we show you that bonus hero's splash screen, even if you tap past it, the system does try to identify on your roster like who might be a good bonus hero choice for you. So you'll automatically have one selected.
Oh, okay.
If you don't have any characters of that rarity tier, that's okay. If you don't have a bonus hero selected for a tier, like maybe you unselected all of them, or maybe you just didn't have any at the time that the system did that check, then you still have you'll have a chance to get any character of that rarity with equal chance among all of them. So if you don't select any 5 stars, for example, and you know you draw from legendary token and you get the bonus hero for a 5-star, you still will get a 5-star bonus hero. It'll just be a random one.
Okay. And the bonus hero, now make sure I'm understanding this correctly, will reflect the rarity of whatever your original draw was.
That's right. Yeah. So let's say I open a 1-pack and I get the 5% of it being a bonus hero. If it was a 4-star, if it was a 4-star that I opened in the heroic store, then I would get a 4-star bonus hero. Awesome. Similarly, if it was a 3-star that I opened, I would get a 3-star bonus hero.
Right. Okay. So that would be why you would want to check one of each tier level.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that's why the system picks one by default for you from each of those tiers, if it can. If it figures one out for you.
Well, this might really start boosting 3-star acquisitions.
Yeah. This change is kind of designed to help people through those rarity transitions a little bit more. You know, hopefully it's a way for people to kind of double down on the covers of characters that they want.
I find it interesting because as we've been talking, I've completely only been thinking about 4-star characters. So it really tells me where I'm at in the transition. Because now that you mentioned the 3-star thing, I'm thinking if you haven't completed, like if you're still working on your 3-stars, this could be fantastic way of improving your chances.
I mean, I still don't have Thanos fully covered, so.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll make it easy for me. But and then it'll be nothing but I am 40 covers. For days and days.
For days.
No, Strange. Sorry. Still going for Strange.
Yeah, but boy, love me some Batman.
What 4-star character does Doctor Strange give you? Do you guys know? Does anybody know?
From Champion?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, can tell you.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
I think that's Nova.
Nova. Okay. Ooh. There you go.
So he would be a good guy to pick, because if you're getting all those bonus covers, it's going to force you through his champion levels further and you know, yeah, to you those bonuses. Yeah, I hear. I hear good things.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got the pew-pew fingers, but besides that,
it's a special
power. Is fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is. It just, I don't know. It's just every time in my head, all I hear is pew-pew.
That's pretty but much boy, the sound effect, yeah.
Yeah, I use him a fair bit because, man, he's devastating. I'm trying to think if there's anything we missed on this because it's just all so much.
Yeah, it's a big change, so it's going to take some time to see, you know.
Right, and that's this is coming at the beginning of March?
Yes, yeah. Ideally, it'll be kind of first week of March is when we're expecting it to land in-game, and then from there it'll be turned on, and we'll see how it goes.
So go ahead, Ray.
Sure, real quick. I see that the bonus heroes are unlocked at shield rank 8.
Yeah.
And is that the same? Is that basically corresponding to getting out of the prologue? If you play it,
yeah, it's a little bit after that. Okay. Well, it depends. It kind of depends on how you play, I guess. But you get access to versus mode at level 5, I think, shield rank 5. So 8 is only a little bit past that. We just didn't want to like have people opening standard tokens in the like the first time user experience and during the prologue. That's like, oh, what's that? Nobody's right, told me what that is. So it's just a little bit after that to try to make sure that it's not like information overload kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is an ethics question, I guess. Okay. Let's say that this is information that you shouldn't already have, and maybe you've already earned your 10-pack for the season. Would it be unethical or insider trading to sit on that 10-pack until the first?
So I just showed Dave how I have 2 10-packs waiting. normal heroic tokens waiting. I'm at 79 legendary tokens. So, no, I think you're okay. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there are plenty of reasons to sit on tokens. You know, one obvious one is that we currently change what's in each cover pack over time. So I would not fault you for sitting on, say, a heroic 10 pack because, you know, this is coming. It's probably not that far away. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I probably wouldn't like create a ring of insider traders and then try to manipulate the market or something. That sounds a little bit shady, but no, I think it's totally fine to sit on it.
Yeah, our alliance will just have to forgive us for not sharing it with them. But I'm sorry, yeah, guys. I don't personally know all of you,
and well, there you go.
I can't let that information out. So
yeah, I appreciate it.
You'll get over it.
Yeah,
I've already gotten over it.
Yeah.
It's only 1 week.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Let's see, what we miss. We got new characters. We got limited characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if did we. I think you covered 3 stars and 4 stars that have the new character tag. It's until the season after they're launched. And
yeah. Not, so
5 stars
so, yeah,
is about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 5 stars. We recently kind of looked at how we were releasing characters and decided that we would wait a little bit of time for 5 stars to add them to the latest Legends pack. So that's the amount of time it takes before the new tag goes away. And then when the characters get added to the heroic pack is when the new tag goes away for 3 and 4 stars. And that's at the beginning of the next Versus season.
All right.
So
I'm super excited.
I have a question it's not on this topic, just in general.
Yeah.
Do you have the 5 stars? Like, are they coming out at a regular schedule? Do you have, like, can we expect to see 2 in, you know, so many X months? Or do you have anything
like
that?
Yeah, it depends a little bit on – so we try to match our characters to our rarities appropriately so that we're like when we create a 5-star, you know, we think it's an appropriate character to have at the 5-star tier.
Right.
And some of our character release schedule relies on like what's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what's happening on Netflix and what's happening in the comic books. So given all that, it's still usually the case that we do a 5-star right now once every other month, I think. Or maybe once every 6 weeks-ish.
Okay.
So that's about the cadence. And I think we've been sticking to that pretty well, but sometimes we'll do like Civil War. We want to have both an Iron Man and a Cap, so that means we have two fives at once, and then right, that changes the schedule downstream a bit. But yeah, generally, the principal is about one every 6 weeks, I think.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. We have any other bonus hero questions before we chuck on to the next new feature?
No, I think we should go to the next feature unless Ian had something.
No, I was very satisfied. That was I don't have anything. It was all I just want to know more about the next features.
All right. So I guess you blame me. Going live on the 22nd of February.
Yeah.
Was the Deadpool Daily changes.
Yeah.
So so you got more missions, more tokens, more command points. Tell me what all is going down.
Yeah. So we did an update. You know, this is like roughly the second anniversary of Deadpool Daily. Ish third? No, it can't be the third. It's the third anniversary of the game. Oh. Maybe it is the third. All right, whatever. It's close to an anniversary of Deadpool. It's sort of like, let's update it.
The third time we changed it, the second anniversary.
Yes. Okay. Yes. There we go. You can tell we're on top of this. So the idea was we know that the content in Deadpool Daily is really good for people who are looking to add covers to their 3 stars. Kind of the whole setup up to the Big Enchilada was designed to do that. And then later on, we added Crash of the Titans, which is kind of for people who are already in their 4-star game. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of looked at it and we were like, this is good, but it could be better. And so we decided to kind of look and see how we could change it to be better for people who are in the 3 to 4-star transition and add some content that's appropriate for them. And so that's what the Behemoth Burrito pin is designed to do. And at the same time that we did that, we kind of did some housekeeping and said, like, well, what can we do to make the Big Enchilada better, like a better challenge and like a little bit less grindy? And then what can we do to Crash of the Titans to make it a little bit easier for people to play on their own schedule? So the changes in total are Big Enchilada went from many waves to one long wave, I think.
Yes. It's a 6-person wave now.
Right. So we hope that'll be a little bit more interesting and a little bit less grindy. And then Behemoth Burrito, which is a new pin that awards some command points, a few command points. It's every day and requires specific 2, 3, and 4-star characters, similar to what's diversity? I don't know what the
combined arms.
Combined arms. Yeah.
Yep. So we actually I think take many of the top performing teams from that versus event that players have used, and we put those in as the ones that you fight against, and then you know we have a schedule of characters that are required there, and so that's a way to encourage players to have a reasonably developed 4-star and then a quite powerful 2 and 3-star to bring with them to play that content and get the extra command points each day. And then we modified the way the crash pin runs behind the scenes so that you can play it any of the 5 days now, not just the last day, once per Deadpool Daily run. So those are the changes, I think.
Yeah, I'm really kind of digging the new burrito just because it will force me to play some teams that I wouldn't normally do. So
Right.
I might learn something.
To see how those shake out. So,
and it really justifies your "gotta catch 'em all" theory of 2 stars.
Mm. No, you gotta catch 'em all. I think I'm at 121 characters right now, so I'm getting close.
All right.
So I've got the list in front of me, and I'm looking through it. Is Bagman ever a required?
I don't think we're requiring characters that are of those limited variety. So I don't think Bagman or Yelena or Devil Dino or Howard are required anywhere, but I could be wrong about that.
Didn't we try pitching the all Spider-Man team?
Oh yeah, we did talk about the all Spider-Man team. I think it wasn't very fun to play with.
We shot that quickly.
Yeah. So those characters, the ones that are like the limited ones, are kind of unique and aren't exactly usually the best team players, and so it's we tend not to have them in like these team composition puzzles. But, you know, we'll see if there's a lot of player demand for it. We'll definitely revisit it.
Well, I was mainly asking because Bagman's the only 2-star I don't have.
Ah, there you go. Okay, so I think you're safe.
Yeah.
So do I have to have all 3 characters to participate in the Behemoth Burrito?
You do, yeah. It's a 3 required goodness. Character pin. Sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, but I probably cave.
No, so this just came out today that we're recording, mm-hmm. So I've only got to run through it once, but it I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that it changed it up a little bit and I had to actually open my eyes and pay attention to to what was going on. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good change. So
totally caught me off guard. Well, I love the new enchilada. I love the six-person wave instead of the the four waves. But even though you gave us the new artwork like 2 days ahead of time to kind of like prep us for it, I was fooled. Didn't even think first. I was like, oh, change the artwork. Didn't give it another thought and just went through my daily. And then today I was like, everything's totally different, but it's exactly how it said it would be. Why am I so ignorant?
I mean, one thing we should mention is the burrito 4-star required kind of follows the crash order. You just started at Falcon America.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I think we're going to be publishing as much as we can about what the order is for the burritos. People can work on their characters before they come up, if that's something that people are interested in doing. So I think we'll be posting that to the forums and such.
It's already there.
Great. Thanks, Anthony. Way ahead of me.
We were looking at that earlier going, okay, what do I got coming up?
No, was like Ian, I was completely fooled though, because I knew we had this interview coming up and then the Daily Deadpool came out and I'm like, wait a minute. I thought that's what we were going to be talking about.
Right.
And then you completely threw me off guard with the bonus heroes. So good job. You got so many changes coming out.
Yeah. Well, got to keep you guys on your toes, I guess.
No, good job for, you know, getting something out there that wasn't spoiled at all.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's good times.
Yeah.
I like being surprised with new things.
Good.
At least somebody is.
We are. I try to avoid spoilers like the plague because it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I get that. I'm a similar way. So
if nothing else, the one time you read a spoiler and then it's not what happens, that, you know, it ruins everything.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
Again, except if you want to email me way ahead of time, give me the exact day, minute, and second that Dazzler hits the game.
You can spoil that for
me way ahead of time, and I'll prep my brain. Oh, I will hoard all the tokens. I will, you know, go spend me some Stark salaries. I'll do what I got to do.
Noted.
All right, if we're cool there, we can move on to the newest character in the game.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell me about good old Phil Coulson?
Phil Coulson, yeah, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I designed this character, actually. This is a Dave Guskin special. They don't let me design characters very often because I usually make really complicated ones, and you may have noticed that Coulson is somewhat complicated. Coulson, I love the character. I think he's a great kind of foil to the Avengers. Yeah. He's got a really cool show in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah.
Which I started watching for doing his character. Yeah, I wanted to make him a support character who could do really cool, crazy things, because there's always some crazy, unexpected things happening around him. He's kind of funny because he's like pretty consummate straight man, and then he like gets in all these wacky, crazy situations with crazy S.H.I.E.L.D. tech and, you know, aliens and all kinds of. Yeah. So I wanted to set it up so that he could do some cool like abilities that chain into each other and really make you think about how you could maximize your team around him as a support character. And so that was the kind of genesis of him having three active passive abilities.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I guess I can talk through his abilities a little bit. So Call the Cavalry is an ability kind of similar to Kingpin's, where he creates S.H.I.E.L.D. agent tiles that just do exactly what the S.H.I.E.L.D. minions do. So he makes, you know, a commander who makes a strike tile, he makes a sniper who deals single target damage, and a spy who deals enemy team damage. And so he's making a bunch of countdowns, and he has a passive component that will, whenever a countdown reaches zero, he'll generate some random AP for your team. So that's kind of a nice little synergistic ability. And his second ability, which is Best Laid Plans, is a it's kind of a weird ability where it lets you choose two tiles to charge and then swap. So you can kind of make some really powerful matches. And I think this one has the passive that when you make a match, if you have enough team up AP, he'll reduce the timer on one of your countdowns. So that obviously synergizes with his S.H.I.E.L.D. agent countdowns. And then it's also cool with other characters' countdown abilities.
Right.
And then his last ability, Super Secret Tech, is kind of similar to Star-Lord, I guess. He's got a little bit of like count up the countdowns. So that's a way to maximize the value from his Call to Cavalry ability. It's also a cool thing to pair with somebody like Star-Lord or other people who make a lot of countdowns. And does it stun the character? I can't remember what we ended up doing for this guy.
Pretty sure it stuns.
I think it stuns for the number of countdowns you have. And then that one also creates countdowns on its passive. So there's, kind of a, there's like a little engine that happens with the three passives. So,
I mean, my first thought when I read this is like, oh, now I have a reason to, use War Machine. I'm going to throw him in with Star-Lord and I'm just going to make all the countdown tiles.
Yes, do it.
I thought you didn't like War Machine.
I do not, but now he's useful. He can generate me countdown tiles for Phil.
There you go.
I now have a reason to use him. So I'm gonna totally give that a whirl once once I get some covers on Phil.
Once you check War Machine as one of your favorites in the bonus character slot.
Oh, nice. Good callback.
Boy, that will make me sad, but I will probably do that just because. I believe he'll be cool. I mean, you can team him up with King Fan and you get him all kind of minions running rampant.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a lot of crosstalk. Can you say that again?
I was just saying you could team up with Kingpin and then have all kind of random friends showing up. And
yeah, that's right. The Magia and the Shield agents working together. Perfect.
Now, the only thing, though, if you're going to have a power called Call of the Cavalry, where's Melinda May?
Yeah, no, I actually got some pushback from some of our design team when they realized I was naming it that. It's true. I would have liked to incorporate May. I didn't really have the time to ask for an entirely other character's worth of art, and so I had to reuse a lot of the Shield agent art, but you can imagine that May is like flying the plane but I also just thought, I like the idea of the like kind of colloquial use of the term, but it's true, it's has a very special meaning in Agents of Shield, so probably my bad, but I don't know. Yeah. I like the name.
I mean, if people are caught up on this season, it would good stuff going on.
Yeah.
So like you just
have, more and more.
But I hope to be.
When you work on, when you work on the May character, you just have to somehow have it work with his yellow ability. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. There we go.
I
have no reason not to expect that. After 4-star Cage came out and very clearly said, expect a 4-star Iron Fist down the road. I was like, okay, thanks. I will.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could just be, if Coulson's got Call the Cavalry going on the board or something, then, she does something else. Or
I'm making notes. This is good.
That would be cool.
I like it.
But yeah, so it's cool. Like, this is the first character whose powers all have both passive and active components, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. We've done a few characters with multiple passives and multiple active passives, but I think this is the first one that has all three.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for passive abilities.
Cool. Yeah, I tried to keep these. The one on the purple ability on Best Laid Plans is a bit complicated, but overall, I was trying to look for like really straightforward, simple, kind of modular passives that you could combine in interesting ways. I mentioned earlier that I come from a Magic the Gathering background, and there's all these like little engines you can make where like, oh, this card will trigger, and then that one triggers this one, and you can make this little like, crazy. What is it called? The machines that like knock the marbles down and then it like hits the dominoes, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh yeah.
Like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yes. Rube Goldberg. Yes. So it's like a Rube Goldberg device. And that's something that is just very compelling to me. So, trying to keep the like passes really simple so that they interact with a lot of things was definitely a goal of mine here.
The good old days where you lay down 4 Howling Mines and 4 racks.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, good times. Good times.
You guys are like my antithesis.
Sorry.
That's why I like 3-star Cyclops. He can shoot you. He can shoot you harder, or he can make more red to shoot you. I'm like, yeah, that speaks to me.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's what Devil Dino should be your favorite then. He can bite you, or he can bite you some more, or he can do a little dance and then bite you.
The dance threw me off. You had me bite you a slightly different way.
Well, we've got characters for you too, Ian, so
yeah, everybody is spoken for in this game.
Yes. I would hope so.
Good times. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to trying this out with Coulson and countdown people. It looks like it'll be fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, we hope you like him.
It sounds like he will be someone that I'm gonna make a favorite as soon as I can. A hero.
Nice. Soon.
Because I want to play this.
Over Marvel universes with the cinematic universe and the TV universe, so I'd like to see that sort of representation. I think the TV shows need a little more.
We definitely whenever one of the TV shows kind of is announced or comes out, we kind of have like a, okay, let's get together and talk about character releases for a little bit. Can we work on this character? Where can we fit them into the schedule? That kind of stuff. So,
well, man, they're coming fast and furious nowadays. There's so many different Marvel shows being announced.
It doesn't help that there's all these ensemble ones too, right? With like Inhumans, Defenders, yep. And it's like, how many characters can we put in?
Nice.
Yeah.
All the characters. Well, we got you here. One thing I wanted to bring up is there was a recent change to a bunch of powers that I guess now are probably properly handling the fact that team-ups were never supposed to be considered basic tiles.
Yeah, there was some inconsistency in how powers treated team-up tiles. Some treated them as basic and some did not. And our terminology was also pretty inconsistent. And so we kind of got together and decided, well, okay, basic tile means a tile with a color that doesn't have anything on it. And so let's make all the abilities consistent. And that did alter the functionality of some characters. And so we're kind of watching to see if that's like change the characters over much. And if so, then we might pull back. But that was just kind of a consistency pass and trying to make sure that like when you read basic, you know what that means. And it's not just like try to figure it out from how the power works. And that's different from the other powers. So,
yeah, just the biggest one that I see, if that, you know, if we're going to worry about me and who doesn't. you know, it's Switch's arcane incantation, because you know, sometimes it will get stuck in bad places to begin with, and now that if it can't convert team ups, you know, sometimes you'll get no purple or one purple.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's a specific case. Scarlet Witch is a specific case where we're gonna watch and see, and if it looks like, you know, usage decreases a lot or people stop winning with her, then that's definitely something we'd revisit. It's, you know, that would be like we just update the power description to say basic or team up, and then and then we could update the functionality. So it's definitely a case by case basis that we're going to keep an eye on.
Cool.
Good deal. Hey, we got a question from our alliance that I thought was really good. When are we going to see any shield clearance levels for like 9 and 10?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I haven't looked at the data in a while, but the basic philosophy that I have is I want to open up the shield clearance levels as quickly as I can, where it'll be fair to compete in them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to run into a situation where like we open up clearance level 10 and like three people qualify and then they win all the prizes. Yay.
Yay. King Dreadnought won everything. All right.
good old rich get richer problem. So, so to avoid that, what I've been trying to do is watch and see when there's like an obvious, shield rank cutoff past which we could populate a reasonable, like one instance per offset. So, you know, like be able to make sure that each offset had sufficient people in it that people would be competing in a reasonable way for the placement press. So I don't think we're quite there yet with clearance level 9. I think we probably could draw a line, but it would be pretty close to the current line for shields clearance level 8. And so I want to wait until we can differentiate them a little bit more. And so that's kind of the philosophy there. And that's why we haven't opened them up yet.
Sure.
But still watching it, still want to make sure that we can make, you know, have the appropriate level for players. Just don't want to have a situation where people get placement prizes that maybe they shouldn't get as easily.
Right.
Here's a question. Do you know has it been identified what's going on with shield intercepts not firing very often anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. That's more of a technical problem that I'm not fully keyed into, but I know that so the like primary thing that shield intercepts do in serving the ads up is that they like contact an external ad provider, and I know that we've had trouble with like that technical interface. So I think that people are still working on it. I don't think there's currently like a plan to like throttle that down for no reason. So if it's a problem, it's like a bug that we're working on, not like an intended feature.
Yeah, I had submitted a ticket and they said it's a known issue that's being worked on, because I played you know, through the gauntlet three times and I don't think I got a single shield intercept.
Oh wow.
The entire time.
That's very strange, because I did not have that experience. I definitely got them.
Oh yeah, I got none.
Yeah, so that might actually not be an ad, like a
ad. It's not like the ads are crashing. That's just not, it just didn't trigger.
Yeah, right. So that might be a different issue. That's like a bug on the client side. Okay, I'll ask our engineers and see if they can figure something out. I'm sure they already know if you reported
it. Yeah, they said that they were working on it, so.
Yeah, okay.
If you had any update.
Yeah, I don't know, unfortunately. Sorry.
I had a quick question, something that I didn't know if you would consider. So what has now become unofficially called dying on the vine? When I open a token and it sits there and I've got my 13 or so days to act, and often, you know, I need to scramble to satisfy the requirements of getting that token rostered. Whether, you know, I need to generate more hero points to buy a new slot, or, you know, open up some new tokens to champion the person so that I can add that cover, you know, or my option is to sell it for ISO. If the time limit elapses for whatever reason, you know, I just wasn't paying attention, wasn't being mindful, or, you know, I just didn't intend to get back to it. Is there any way that rather than actually dying on the vine, I can just get the default ISO value and maybe it stings a little less when things disappear off my vine?
Yes, that is a reasonable change that I know we've talked about before. And I don't know if it was like tricky for some reason for the engineers to do, but I will bring it up again. I think that's definitely like a reasonable stopgap.
Cool.
The whole, yeah, of course. The problem with getting a cover that kind of languishes in your rewards cache because you can't roster it or you can't champion the character who would use it as a champion level, that's definitely like a problem we know and don't like it's bad. And we've been talking about solutions to it from a number of different angles, but we don't fully have it solved. It's a little tricky and there's a lot of UI around.
I don't think it's a huge, you know, again, I wouldn't personally call it a huge issue. I'm fine with the ISO value.
Yeah, yeah.
That would make me feel great. Just sometimes I'll be like, oh, I thought I still had, you know, 24 hours on that guy and I just don't see him anymore. And
right, then totally.
Slowly forlorn.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you just something, I mean, I'm sure this is way too hard, but even if you got rid of the expiration and say I have three or four of the colors that I don't need, if I could cash all of them in for one of the color that I do need.
Yeah, that's a little more complicated.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's probably hard.
That solution is, in fact, like one that we definitely talked about, that specific one. And it's really just a matter of like, what do we think is the right implementation of that? And what's like the UI that what's the experience? How much interface do we have to create to make this something that's like a smooth experience? And
yeah,
so that's,
I mean, just worry about it. Now you've got to have a stash of all these, you know, onesie, twosie covers because you're waiting for three or four or whatever you need to trade in. And it could get a lot in your, you know, make your save files now starting to be huge. And
that segues into another interesting question for me. Once that I open a token and what I, you know, believe to be some sort of random number generator decides what character I'm getting out of it, is there then some sort of rarity scale for what power I'm going to get for that character? Because it seems, again, just in my limited experience, I see a lot of people that have, you know, certain characters that are covered, you know, 5-1-1.
Yeah.
Is Moon Silver Blades or that much more common to get for
Purple Star Lord, Green Cho?
Yeah.
No, they're all equal. I mean, obviously that's exactly what I would say. No, I mean that those numbers behind the scenes are generated by a script. And those, they're not differentiated by color at all.
Okay. So powers don't have rarity.
Power, right. The specific color, whichever power you got on that character doesn't have a rarity. They're all uniformly equal.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't think I can't think of anything in the system that would bias it one way or the other. I mean, obviously people are going to have, you know, the law of large numbers, enough people opening cover packs are going to create this situation for many, but I don't think there's anything in the system that's biased toward a color.
Okay.
Except for event rewards, but that's not really what you're talking about. So
no.
What else you got, Ray? We're running out of time here.
Oh, sure. Hey, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this. This wasn't from Craig. It was from our podcast.
Don't ask it. Resist.
I'm asking it anyway. When will Furry Friends officially be changed to Squirrel, Squirrel, Squirrels?
I didn't even ask it.
It was kind of
a joke. I feel
like
that's already been satisfied. Yeah, I was going to say, what more do you need?
When it says squirrels when it goes off. So my really humor value was satisfied at that point.
That was a pretty big gift.
It was. I was super ecstatic.
Yeah. So actually, my actual question. So, is about the character vaults. Uh-huh. I don't have it up in front of me. It's taking a while to come up, but there's, one that just came out. I don't remember who it is. Are those working out as planned? Like, are people using those vaults?
Yeah. You're talking about the ones that don't reset, those kind of special vaults with a four star cover.
Right now it's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, right, because we just did a rebalance on him. Yeah, they're working well. I think that we are seeing some success with players being interested in buying them out. We are currently investigating ways to make that experience a little bit better, like a little bit better, like excitement about what you're going to get, and like bundle some other stuff in there that's actually useful instead of what we normally put into a vault, I guess. So we are looking at ways to like kind of streamline that experience and make it more exciting, and maybe even have multiples running it at once so that people have a choice about what they want to get. But I think so far it's been pretty successful.
Okay. Kind of related to that, any chance we can see a return of a 5-star exclusive vault?
So we've been avoiding putting 5-stars in vaults, but we do the thing where, like in Strange Sights in that story episode, we have those special artifact vaults, and then there's like a token into a store that has a higher chance for that 5-star.
Right.
So we definitely do that. I don't want to say that we would never put a 5-star in a vault, because I think that's something we totally could do. It's just that, and this is like, I'm putting on my like economist hat for the moment. It's a little rough for us to like price what the cost of a draw on that vault would be, because the current price to acquire a 5-star is, you know, where it is with legendary packs. And so it'd be hard to create a vault where that would feel like a good deal, I guess. That being said, I don't think that's something that we would never do. I think there could be opportunities where we would let you earn a bunch of tokens to it by doing something that was really challenging. I think that could totally be something we do. We could create a vault version of the legendary store. I think that might be something we could do. But that's not something that we have like planned currently.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Hey, speaking of Strange Sights, we got to see the ending. That was awesome.
Yeah. Great.
It was as good as promised.
We fixed that bug. Cool.
I enjoyed playing it the first time. I enjoyed it even more the second time when I got to hear more of the story.
That's great. Yeah, I'm happy. One of the things that I was really hoping would happen with Strange Sights is, because it's kind of a choose your own adventure thing, that there would be a little bit of interest in seeing the way the dialogue developed in the other path. So I'm glad we fixed the technical issues of that, and you got to see some of that. So
I mean, I know there are lots of work, but boy, I love new story events.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you do. We're always looking for more opportunities to do that in a way that we can sustain.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, that one, the Howard the Duck one is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's off saving Aunt May with Doc Ock going on a date. I mean, that one's just tremendous.
Yeah, that one's great. All kudos to Casey for that one. That was a wonderful one.
Well, if we're calling out favorites, I love the Ghost Rider one. The
Heart of Darkness?
Heart of Darkness.
That one is indeed dope.
Yep. Yeah, that's Casey's too. That's a really good one too.
Gilliam Rays. All right.
The only other thing that I think, I mean, we're getting a little long on time, but I was really implored to ask this question.
Okay.
In PvP, people are seeing some delays in the attack showing up. So, like, we had a person who got above 650, shielded, and then they got a loss, like, after the event ended that put them below 650. And they're trying to get 650. So apparently there's been, I haven't seen it myself, so I don't know, but apparently there's been a delay in the attack showing up. Do you know anything about that, or can you speak on it?
I hadn't heard that specifically. I do know that, you know, there's like a hidden latency problem with versus with shields that is not great for anyone. You know, personally, I'd like to revisit the versus events and see if there's a way to kind of restructure it to make it a lot more meaningful in terms of competition. I think there's a lot of, like, you know, I hesitate to call them exploits, but like ways to play that weren't exactly the intended like kind of way to have a competitive event. And it's fine. Like, people have fun with those systems. They're just kind of like emergent systems. And I would love to kind of take a second look at that and maybe restructure it a bit. But in terms of that specific shield problem, I hadn't heard of that much latency, but it doesn't surprise me. I know we have had issues with that in the past.
Okay.
So I made a note here to ask our engineering team, see if that's something that shows up in the server data or something that's easy to track down.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then any thought on changing the reward structure in the gauntlet? It runs for so long, you know, so it's a fair amount of days where it's the only story you can play.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to the end, you know, you get your 1-4 star and, you know, it's good to go back and mop up all that extra ISO.
Mm-hmm.
But for the amount of time it takes you to get through there, it seems, you know, like maybe more than 1-4 star might be nice.
You're saying compared to other 7-day events, you're saying based on the amount of work you put in for the gauntlet.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's a lot of fights,
mm-hmm.
and it's spread out over a huge amount of days.
Yep.
So like, you know, even if you play it hardcore and you finish it, you know, within a couple of days, it's just kind of hanging out there on the screen for a long time.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, going back with like the shield intercept. So now I've got this shield intercepts only show up in stories. Now I have no story to play.
Right.
Outside of the Deadpool daily. So there's
they all
rewards
knew
that I'm not getting.
Daily.
That's right. That's true. It gives me a couple extra chances.
How about in the meantime, you go play some PvP so you can earn that 10 pack so that you can get an 8% chance of unlocking the bonus.
That's true. I do. I have not gotten to 4,000 yet this season. So
well, he would, except that, you know, when he shields, it's going to be. He's gonna be No, I mean, I hear you, Craig. We're definitely – so 7-day events particularly are ones that we've been looking at for like are they rewarding for the amount of time you have to put in.
Right.
I don't know if that's exactly what you're saying because it sounds like, you know, for the gauntlet, it's like kind of a slog to play all the pins. Maybe that feels like it should be more rewarding. I totally hear that. I want to look at ways to improve the gauntlet. So part of that would be rewards. That's something that we have talked about recently. Right. And then I think in terms of the like it's the only story thing going on, we're talking about maybe overlapping some other story events on top of 7-day events more often so that there's more to do when an event stretches out that long, especially the gauntlet because it doesn't have, you know, the same kind of subchapter structure.
Right, sure.
Well, I think this time around, I think it's become easier. Mm-hmm. Since there are characters that aren't locked out anymore in story mode, which sure. Unpopular opinion, I absolutely hate. But so I don't know. I found it much easier to complete the gauntlet this time around. I mean, yes, my roster is much better than the last time around.
Exactly
I played gauntlet.
What I was going to say, your roster is more champ 4 stars.
Well, it's just the fact that Quake and Deadpool being boosted at the same time was a wrecking machine.
Mm. Got it.
But I don't know. I like the just. To get the more hate mail thrown my way because, you know, that's good.
Yeah, okay.
I missed the fact that story modes locked out people so they couldn't fight each other.
Noted.
I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of support in your opinion.
No, I'm going to get no support on that. But it doesn't change the fact that if it's a story mode, you know, if I'm trying to tell a story, a dialogue, I can't have, you know, the same person go punch themselves in the face.
Or can you?
Well, I suppose if it's, you know, whatever.
Seriously,
Earth 22 is fighting Earth 23 in an all-out rumble.
That's right. Exactly. No, I hear you. yeah. I don't know about that particular. I do like that update because I think we're running into some awkward situations, especially with like the release of Agent Venom, where like it would have had pretty bad impacts on some of the events that feature Venom, for example. But I hear you on the gauntlet. I think that can be improved.
Good deal.
Good answer.
All right, you guys got anything else? We've had them on the phone for like an hour, so I don't know.
That was going to be my other thing. Unless we can get Anthony a company car or a series of zip lines that can get him home faster. We should consider letting him go.
And well, one terrible towel so he can wear it around Boston in pride.
Perfect. All right, we'll have your people talk to our people and get the zip line.
Oh, that reminds me of an unimportant question. This is just to satisfy my own curiosity. Did they ever let you guys go to events, or did they just send D3 to events?
Oh, usually D3 will go. On occasion, we will have representation at events, but usually D3 is the ones who go.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
PAX? We've been to PAX East on occasion. I don't know if PAX Prime has ever been a destination we've gone to.
No, I think like when Marvel Puzzle Quest like was first being launched, I think we went to a couple places.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I've traveled to I was at like New York Comic Con briefly last year, 2 years ago. I don't know. But it doesn't happen that often.
Sure. I was gonna, don't they have a Boston Comic Con?
Is there a Boston Comic Con?
There has
to be. Of it.
Probably.
There probably is. I just don't know.
Some, you know, but you know, being up there, it won't be called Boston. It'll be, you know, the New England Comic Con.
That's right. Yeah, the Winners Comic Con.
That's right. I hate Tom Brady. All right. Gotta respect him. Can still hate him.
Yeah, that's fair. Tough but fair.
Greg stole the jersey. You heard it here first.
That's right. That's right. I deflated all the balls, all these things over all these years. It's all been a big setup. Holy. And when he's not looking, I'm going to totally steal Giselle Bundchen from him. That's when I'll have my revenge.
A Victorious confession, right, guys? Jeez.
Yeah, if you guys ever get to go to one of these conventions, let us know and we'll try to make one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, we'll certainly let you know.
I still hope at some point our wives keep talking about at some point making a drive up to Maine or something from where we live. So the thought would be to maybe stop in Boston for a day. So if that happens, we will reach out and see.
We'll give you a tour of the office. It's very exciting. It's not very exciting.
Stay in the middle.
You know, that's what D3 said. And we had a fine time.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it'll be a fine time.
Yeah. I'll have to tell you more, Craig. I think we're headed up there.
For the summer or for the birthday?
No, probably for the summer. Owen has discovered that there is a theme park in Carver, Massachusetts that has a section totally devoted to Thomas and Friends.
Oh, nice. My.
So apparently this is happening.
Nice.
Pretty okay. Immediately.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm down for going.
Yeah, well, let us know.
Absolutely.
Thanks for doing this interview. It was tremendous as usual.
Yeah, guys, this was awesome as always. Like I said, we'll you give us the go ahead when we can shoot this thing out and we'll hit the publish button.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, guys. It was great talking to you, and I hope you enjoy choosing favorites and getting some bonus heroes.
Yeah, I can't wait now that I can pick more than one and I can do things. Now I'm excited.
I know. So many choices.
Oh, my.
Get that Medusa before 6 months.
Great. That's right. I want me some Medusa. All right. Thanks, guys, so much. We really appreciate it. Anytime you guys can take the time to talk to us, we love having you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for accommodating us.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Bye, friends.